No, I don't feel I need to respond to that, no.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, you know, I think we all want to move forward. And this isn't directed at you necessarily as part of the OPA, but I think we've got to, as a good chair often says, think outside the box here. I anticipate, and hopefully I'm wrong, that this 25 megawatts and probably even what comes behind that is going to be more expensive in the short term than what our other options would be.
That's right.
Having said that, I still think it's a path we have got to pursue because, right, you know, it's a great potential. But I think what we got to do is to start forgetting the idea of hiding the cost in everybody's rates. I think we've got beyond that point, as far as I'm concerned, because it's easy. Most people don't see it. It's only a penny, but it is $12 to $13 million. And I think what that easiness does, it causes us not to use our brains and our creative powers to think of other ways. Now, for example, in the bill as written, it says it will not increase the electric rates greater than the assessment the SBC charges. That's approximately 1%. Mm-hmm. So if we could have as a principle, I don't know if we make it a law, but certainly as a principle that says anybody who's paying the SBC charge at 1% of their cost, that's approximately what it is, will not see their bill go up more than 1%. If that is the last resort, that to me has to be the last resort.
That's right.
Because I think there's more coming behind the 25 megawatts. I hope it's at a very competitive price, but nothing I've read that indicates. And just one piece of information. I heard a piece of information this afternoon. I think it was Rhode Island. Maybe somebody can correct me. Just signed a wind, offshore wind contract.
Mm, I believe that's right.
And that was, what, 24.5 cents a megawatt?
Yeah. It was some fairly sizable number, that's correct.
That's
that
beyond
was the exact
size.
Number.
When, in fact, now, down the road, that may be the best investment we ever make.
Yeah.
I'm not, but we cannot just blindly go ahead and say, we're going to throw that type of money. And just let me rant. From what I've learned on this committee for 8 years, I heard PURPA, the solution to all our problems. Then I heard if we just go to natural gas, cheap, plentiful, environmentally friendly. Then I heard something about if we just deregulate it, right? All the competitive doors would be pounded on at 8 o'clock at night, people trying to sell us cheap power. I think we've got to be a little more cautious with ratepayer money. And if we can't be creative enough, and I think there's four good options, there's probably other five or six,
maybe others, yeah,
to mitigate and eliminate the cost of ratepayers. And that's why I go back to my probably not well thought out proposal. But if this is so important for the state of Maine, that state government will not use their money, it's not their money, it's taxpayer money, but will not step ahead and commit to this ocean energy power, why would we expect the rest of the ratepayers in the state of Maine to say, I'm going to pay the bill? Now, it's a little bit of token, but you know what? If we in state government won't put that in the budget, because of the economic development impact and the 15,000 jobs we're going to create in the future, how can we ask the ratepayers to do it? I've really got to understand why, if this is so important to the state, we can't do something beyond what we've already done, which is either that proposal or some other proposal to take the burden off the ratepayers. It may go to the taxpayers, but at least it's transparent.
Mm-hmm.
It's right up front. Everybody knows what we're paying, and we haven't hidden it in T&D costs, because that's where it shows up. When we make the T&D sign the contract, they then have to go out and resell it. The difference, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm sure I'll be corrected, ends up in stranded cost in Team B. So the ratepayers doesn't even know it's there. So that's my rant. But I'm very, very, you know, this is important enough that I think we have to open up the options, whether it's the green standard offer or some other means. But the last and only at the end of the day when we've exhausted every other possibilities is to hide it back in everybody's rates. And I'd like the OPA's opinion on that.
I agree 100% with you that we need to make that the last resort. That ought not to be the first resort. And I think we need to use all of our creative energies to find ways to fill that cost in before we ever get to that point. And I think that given the fact that we've already been acknowledged by the federal government as being a real leader in offshore wind, we've received grants, we've got a lot of favorable things going on here, it would not be unreasonable for them to say, for us to say to them, we need you to help subsidize the cost of this 25 megawatts. And I think we need to think in terms of that 25 megawatts. Representative Thibodeau is right. We are talking about ultimately maybe 4,000 megawatts, but that's a little hypothetical right now. We need to get to that first 25 before we get to the next 25, before we get to 100 or 1,000. And we need to find ways that we can do that initially. To the degree that we do it right on the first 25 means it's much more likely we're going to be able to do it right going beyond that point. And I would think that it would not be unreasonable for this governor and our next governor to go to the administration and say, we need you to provide us a source of revenues to help offset this cost so that ratepayers are going to pay what is reasonable for them to pay, but that the other costs that are going to benefit not only Maine people, but theoretically are going to benefit everybody in this country, ought to share in that cost.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Representative Benway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Davies. Appreciate your coming and sharing your comments on the bill and on some of the things that we're doing in here to address potential risks to the ratepayers. We've worked this bill pretty hard from its original ambitious goals, which I don't at all have a problem with, but I think we've tried to scale it down to what we can do. I have to say, I said it when you weren't here, I'm going to say it while you're here, I share Representative Thibodeau's concerns that we did not get an unbiased, independent perspective on behalf of the ratepayer here to help us through this in the 11th hour as we're trying to get this bill through. I think that's a problem. Based on not only this bill but previous bills and previous behavior, I got to say I don't really have faith that we would get it one way or the other based on the way you and the governor's office have represented your role, either as a member of the governor's policy administration, as well as representing the ratepayers in the Office of the Public Advocate. I'm very concerned about that. I think it's this is just a sterling example of why we need an independent Office of the Public Advocate that can give us the ratepayers, even if it goes counter to everybody's desire. To go, somebody needs to be able to say the emperor has no clothes or whatever. And I'm more concerned about Representative Fletcher was talking about the particulars of policy. The particulars of policy are important. To me, what's more important is the structure in which we make policy. And I think that has been compromised under this administration. I think it's been compromised, and your absence from this debate has demonstrated that. And I have a real problem with that, trying to decide whether I should vote in favor of this because I don't think this committee has been given the information that it deserves under the way the system was originally designed. So I just wanted to say that and move on.